impurity must be done away with before a person comes on the Olam HaBa. What I think has done is he has prepared the means and the opportunities for the cleansing. And we've already had various ideas of how this cleansing is done. It is done, for example, by pain and distress, by physical pain, by mental pain that the person suffers well upon earth, and that acts as a cleansing. And then after death, there is the period of Gehenna, where the person is in Gehenna, and we discussed this many months ago, and that is where, for example, the body, and the body is necessary for the clear formation, and what is done is that the cleansing takes place. One of the, for example, when something becomes tome, when it becomes impure, the example that is given in the Torah in which the Torah deals is with the stove, with the oven. It's built out of bread and it becomes impure. It is purified by breaking it down. And when it has become dismembered, then it is purified and one can put it together again and there is no contamination there. So what happens with the body is exactly the same thing. But after death, there is the body disintegrates, and with the disintegration of the body, that is the act of cleansing and purification. And so when the body is put together again, then the body is completely pure. So that is the idea of the body disintegrating after death. Every opportunity given for man for the purification is only possible. If it's impossible, then that person has got no clear formation and has got no Olam HaBa. There's no Olam HaBa, there's no resurrection of the dead. Yes, Gemma?
Is that the same as for, in addition to Tshuva?
Tshuva is, you see, Tshuva depends on the amount of Tshuva, the degree of the Tshuva depends on that. For example, there can be Tshuva where a man is forgiven, but he still has to go through the suffering, the cleansing. You're forgiven, but Hashem will cleanse you, but you've got to go through the cleansing. There can be a tshuva greater than that, where the stress that a person suffers from realizing what it is, the wrong that he has done, is so great that is an atonement. So it's possible that he's not going to have the same or not the same degree of pain. On the other hand, it can mean that God forgives him and he doesn't, he's done Shiva, but he's not acceptable to God. For example, a person can do me wrong and he can ask for forgiveness and I can forgive him, but I don't want him in my to be in my Dalit Amit, as they say. I think you'd have to take the other phone, Linda,
yeah.
Because someone lives in with that phone.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. Yes. You follow? It's possible that a person can not forgive him. I find you, but I don't want to have anything more to do with him. Can you understand that? You can't understand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can understand. Mm-hmm. The person has done a lot of wrong. Done a lot of wrong. He's done the congregation a lot of wrong. He's undermined the congregation. That's my life. And then he leaves here, and then he comes back one day and says, you know, I did wrong, I'm very sorry, I shouldn't have done it, and please forgive me. Especially with the person that I've done a lot for him.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then he does that. He does, I forgive you.
But what said it sounds like it's not a matter of your forgiveness.
That she wants to be forgiven and very sorry, so I'll forgive you. But then he wants to come and be invited for the Friday night. I don't want you for the Friday night. Don't want it. I don't feel comfortable with him. And I tell him, but you won't feel comfortable with me. He says, no, I don't feel comfortable with you. That's the way I won't feel comfortable with you. Can you understand that?
Yes.
So the Shadow Tudor speaks about that. Now, the person who speaks Tudor, that he uses the word, the Lord Yeroth Seel Hashem, is not acceptable to Hashem. And that's true, it is. Just don't rush. So there may be other things for which he's not done through the law, but he's not acceptable to Hashem. So it depends, the type of tshuva, the amount of tshuva depends all on that. All right?
That's a separate thing from the different situation.
That's a different thing.
Totally different.
That's a different, that person can do tshuva, but we've got to go through this disintegration after death because of the sin that the sin of Adam Orisha. We are still suffering from the sin of Adam Orisha. That we've got to go through. All right? Now there is another thing also, and that is we've got a principle that what I have called in the past the body corpus of the Am Yisrael. And that is, besides each Jew being an individual on his own, he also belongs to the Am Yisrael. It is something like we've got limbs in our bodies, we've got a hand. The hand has got fingers. The fingers have got joints. The joints have got nails. But each thing is something separate. Such a shoulder as it happens, leg must be amputated, the arm is amputated. A person can still live without it, can live. But whatever we have is part of the body also, is something separate, but it is part of the body. And so, each Jew is part of the Jewish people, to such an extent that Kol Yisrael Arevi Zeloze. Each Jew stands security for every other Jew. And each Jew has got a responsibility for every other Jew. So there is a very close link. That close link expresses itself in various ways. You know the old story that comes from Chazal about the man that goes into a boat with several others and he takes out an oar and he starts boring a hole under his feet. And then they say to him, but what are you doing? He says, not your business. I'm not doing it under your feet, I'm doing it under my feet. I pay for my feet. What are you doing? What are you? That is the example that the Chazal gives, that each person is responsible for every other person. You can't say, doesn't matter what I do, it matters very much what you do. And if you do something right, everybody benefits from it. To what extent the person benefits from it, that depends on a thousand things, as we are going to see later. Now that is one way in which Kol Yisrael arranged themselves, that each Jew is responsible for another Jew, that is one of the ways in which it works. And now there is another way in which it works, and that is that you can have a tzaddik, or you can have a group of tzaddikim, and they will suffer for the Am Yisrael, for the whole people of Israel, for the wrong that they have done. There are, of course, very stringent conditions for it. First of all, it must be a tzaddik that accepts with love this type of suffering that is suffering for the Am Yisrael, for the whole people of Israel. There is another idea, and I don't want to go into it because it doesn't belong to our subject, but I'm just bringing it to the forefront because one day I might have to make mention of it, and that is that the whole of the Am Yisrael, in some respects, is that to the rest of the world, that the Am Yisrael suffers for the rest of the world. But let us leave that for the time being. So far, a study can suffer for others, or a group of studies can suffer. And this, of course, is part of what happened in the Sheol, which is commonly called the Holocaust, and what people don't realize is that however sad the Holocaust was, and there couldn't have been anything sadder than that, there is something that is at least as bad, and that is the way Jews today are dealing with the Holocaust. That they've got no idea of what it is all about, and all they can say is never again, which is nonsense. The Goyim are not going to ask us if we want it again or we don't want it again. They'll do what they want to do so they've got half the opportunity. Now, that is something that is very sad. But this is one of the points that comes into the show, and that is that these people who suffered, they were the finest. Came from Eastern Europe, which was Makom HaTorah, and the reservoir of the Torah was in Eastern Europe. And those were the people. They were the great Rabbonim, they were the great Agonim, they were the great Rosh Yeshivas, they were the great Longim. Those were the people who went to the slaughter, those were the people who suffered. And they went to the slaughter. That was the idea that they had, that we are going for this purpose, that we are being the sacrifice and the atonement for the people of Israel. And I've told you that the Kovner Rosh said, he died before this happening, but he saw what was happening. The Kovner Rosh said that if the status of the Jewish people after the war is the same as it was before the war, then the world must know, the Jewish world must know, that those who died for their own sins. But should it happen, thank you, but should it happen that after the war the status of the Jew is completely changed from what it was before the war, then you must know that those who suffered and went to the slaughter went as a korban, as an atonement for Jews. And as it turned out to be, that after the war the status of the Jew is completely changed. We have the state of Israel, the whole status of the Jew is changed. And I used to just test it, and I did this for very many years, and I do it occasionally now too. I take up a journal or a magazine and see if there's any mention of anything Jewish, and there's always something mention of anything Jewish. I did it with the latest Time magazine. I just said, anything Jewish here? I see Kohl made a statement in an interview, makes a statement. He says what the Germans did to the Jews. He said, when I meet a Jew who speaks a perfect German but refuses to speak German to me because of what we did to his family, says, I can't blame him for that. So Jews are mentioned everywhere and continuously. Before the war, Jews were mentioned. A Jew was a non-entity before the war. After the war, all of a sudden, they coined the phrase, Jews are new. It's everywhere. So we can see that there was a change. So that is the idea, and the Derech Hashem speaks about it, that the tzaddik can suffer for the others. Now, if you would turn to pages 120 and 121, in those two paragraphs, the one paragraph beginning in the Hebrew, Uchadesh Yir Yu, and in the English, in order for this to be possible, and the next paragraph, the Omnom, as a result of this principle. So you see, Uchadesh Yir Mokum Letikun Agodol Ze, Koshro Mitechilo Yeh Ishim Ze Yim Ze. Now, that there should be the Tikun is, how do you call it, Tikun in English? Yes, it is a reparation from the word repair, from the idea of the word repair. And yet there should be this tikkun in the word, and that is that a Jew should have the opportunity to come into the Olam HaBo And it's necessary for the Jew to come into the Olam Haba, not only as an individual, but as a member of the Olam Haba community. And you remember that the Derech Hashem spoke about that several times. There are these two aspects, the individualistic aspect, and he must come also into the Olam Haba as a member of the Olam Haba community. So he says, in order that we should be this, now come the operative word. God bounds the individuals of the Am Yisrael ab initio, one to the other. Have you got the idea? Betty, why do you look at me as if you don't know what I'm saying?
I think I understand
it. Ola. The Zeinian Kol Yisrael of the Zeinian Zeinian. And that is the meaning of every Jew is responsible for every other Jew. That from the very beginning, when God created man, this was the idea, that people are bound together. Now, you'll find that when we were in New York last time, there is a psychiatrist, a woman psychiatrist, who is the congregant of ours, she and her husband, and a very great friend of ours at the same time, and they're living in America now, and we took up the threads where we left them off in South Africa when we were away. Now, she was busy in South Africa, she used to consult me on this, she was busy in South Africa on working of if a person isn't well, how his whole system is affected, that he's affected psychologically, and everything is affected if a person isn't well. She was doing a lot of work, and then it's not as possible to be well. She was doing a lot of work at that particular stage. So we find that all different parts of the body are affected. The whole body is affected. In the same way, the whole of the Jewish people is like a body. And if anything goes wrong with one particular person, it affects the whole body of Israel. Now, and that is what he says. According to this principle, then people and communities are involved with one another, and and there's no such thing as an individual standing on his own. You may need a terrible to meet the ruler. Now, if one person does wrong, then the whole of the Am Yisrael suffers for it. It's not that that it's only that person that is suffers from it, but this is a cause and effect. Same as the body. If anything is wrong with a particular part of the body, the whole of the body suffers. And if there's anything wrong with a person, if a person does anything wrong, then the whole of Am Yisrael suffers as a result of it. For us, it's very difficult to see the suffering, but it's definitely there. Now, what he says is, there is another principle, and that is, if there is a rule with regard to evil, then the parallel rule with regard to good is as much as 500 times greater. That means, if by doing something wrong, one Jew doing something wrong, the whole of the people suffers, then by one Jew doing something right, the whole of the people benefits. But you have found the greater degree than the whole suffers when one does a wishing wrong. Have you got that clear? And that is what he says in this paragraph. That is the principle that he lays down in this paragraph. Now, what did you want to ask, Jenna?
I had a conversation today with a woman in a different congregation. She mentioned this about three different things in this conversation, which didn't know quite how to handle. One, she was going to a minyan every other night to spell her husband. Because relative had died, and they were not religious, but she and her husband are religious. Therefore, she makes the minyan one night, he makes the minyan the other night. Second thing.
What is she? She makes the minyan with women.
In university, though, he was asked by the people, the Jewish people at the university, whether he would accept it if he wanted a minyan, whether he would accept women as part of his minyan. He said that's not a minyan.
Is this what she said?
Yes. So she was taking turns with her husband to make this minyan. The next thing she mentioned something to me about going to mikvah, which she does. And thirdly, she mentioned something to me which indicated to me that she's not Jewish, but she feels she is. she's a very sweet lady. She really had no idea. I don't think she understands any of this, but the thing is, that then she said, I really feel, she asked me where I went, where I attended the school. I told her. She said, I really feel that all Jews should stay together. We should all support each other and always be strong for each other. And I didn't know what to say to her.
Exactly, that you're absolutely right. That's what we want. Yeah. But the reform broke away from us. The conservative broke away from us, the reform broke away from us 200 years ago. The conservative broke away from us 100 years ago, actually. It's much less than 100 years. Because when they started, they didn't break away. They started to be together with us. They broke away really about 50 years ago. But that's exactly what we want. Of course we want all this. But they broke away. We were all together until 1790. 1790 they came in Hamburg and they formed a reform congregation. They are new religion reform. They broke away. We're very sorry that they broke away. We don't like it at all that they broke away. But we love them nevertheless. And we are prepared to take them back any time they really want to come back. We're prepared to take them back. Please convey that to all those people.
I certainly will. She's not doing it.
I had a question about the extent from the beginning, you know, that Israel is responsible for something from the beginning after Adam and Eve
sinned. And after the man was created, God created him in such a way that humankind are connected. In the next chapter, he's going to speak the difference between the Jew and the Gentile. But for the time being, that's what he takes down there. You follow?
Yes.
Well, then after he takes him to speak about it. Okay. So that is the point that he makes, the point that he makes in this, that the idea is always the opportunity for purification. If the person isn't pure, body and soul can't be on the Olam HaBa. Any kind of impurification, any kind of contamination, any kind of transgression or sin, that can't be on the Olam HaBa, can't take it. And so all this has got to be rectified, and Hashem gives us the opportunity for it to be repaired. Now take the next, if you take the next paragraph, so on them I'll be sure that they now goes on to the next thing. He says, and now, I'll be showed it there, on the basis of this principle, Nisgar sheyagiu toras yisurim le'ish tzadik, ve'yir ze lechaporas tzadik. It can happen that a man suffers greatly, and this is a kapora for his generation. This is an atonement for his generation. Yes? That's a very good question. Is this Midas Adin, or is this Midas Arachidin? That Hashem did this with this Midas Adin or Midas Arachidin. Now, the Bethesda Yisurim, the same author of a different verse, speaks about something like this, but on a different level that he can apply. And I'll explain to you what it is. It is Midas Arachidin, to the extent that if a person has done wrong and has made a mess of himself, it's gone. They've made a mess of yourself. So the Midas Arachidin is every opportunity is given for purging, cleansing, rectification, purifying, every opportunity is given. That is Midas Arachidin. That is out of compassion. Now the Matthias is telling us this, that Midas Arachidin is also within the confines of Midas Adin. And one has to appreciate that, because if one takes Midas Adin and Midas Arachidin, which is more real? There's no question. Midas Adin is more real to such an extent as to make Midas Arachidin unreal. So the Midas Arachidin has got to have something with Midas Adin. For example, this is the example that the Matthias is showing you. If a person does tshuva, he is forgiven. Midas Arachidin. But the Midas Adin isn't absent. Because within the tshuva there's got to be charoto. There's got to be remorse, suffering, sorrow for what he has done. So that is where the Midas Adin comes into. So what the Messiah is saying is there can't be a Midas Arachidin without Midas Adin, because then it's an illusion. It's not real. So the Rachamim is by the grace of Hashem, but it's got to fit in to the framework of Midas Adin. The framework is Midas Adin. Have you got the idea? And that is the way it is. So this opportunity is again given, that one man can suffer for a community, or he can suffer for the nation, or he can suffer for the whole generation. But that suffering is a Midas Arachidin on the part of Hashem, but it fits into a Midas Adin. It's got to be paid for the wrong that the people did, has got to be paid for. All right? Yes.
Is it something that we could learn from? Is it something that man needs to apply? One suffers for it, one suffers for the
name. What do you mean by a child?
Very likely to take the that a person can suffer for generation.
Well, as I say, it's very important for us to be able to understand something of the Holocaust. You see, I think the second tragedy of the Holocaust is that Jews don't understand it and they don't want to understand it. The secular Jew doesn't understand it and doesn't want to understand it. Even those Jews who strive for dominion, they don't understand it, they don't want to understand it. There's a lot that we can understand about the show if we want to understand it. But this is all part of liberalism, that it reached the stage now of revisionism, and revisionism is based on Gaza. It's wrong to say that anybody is better than we are now. But look what the Germans did to the Jews. You want to say that those people were as good as people who lived 100 years ago? No, they say that's lies. It didn't happen. That's revisionism. It didn't happen that the Jews were killed. This is something that the Jews sought out. It didn't happen. So that is what is being done today in all the revisionism. We just have to be careful about it, and it goes into the Jews, the action to the Holocaust. They will never say that is because of the wrong that we did. What they will say is there's no God. They very quick to say that. Oh, how could you allow this to have happened? That's a very quick to say. But to say that we brought it on ourselves, that they're not the truth. All right? Father Buffy, what did you enjoy?
There's so many different in that. How does one go about learning about it in a way that we should? Because how does one go about doing it?
This is what we are learning for. This is the reason we are learning. If a person comes to see healing and talks to think in a total way, it's fine. You see, there's a total way of thinking and a total way of feeling. But this is something that's got to be taught. It's not something that is caught. It's not up to the cops. It's got to be taught. You follow what I was saying? You don't see it. You don't see it. You are learning now about it. And you heard me speaking about it before. You understand? Did you say different
things?
But then, of course, a prerequisite of this for the tzaddik is that he wants that. He's prepared to suffer for the good of his people. It is exactly the same extent as he would have accepted Yisurim had it been for him himself. So that is the criteria. If he's able, he knows a tzaddik, if he has to suffer, he knows why he's suffering. And he accepts it with love. Then when he's suffering, not for what he did, for what he did, there's no such suffering. But he is being chosen to suffer for others, for the generation. Then if he can take it in the same way, and is it just the same for his own suffering, that is his great love for his people. If that can be, then it can happen. And through this act, he benefits his generation, that for whom he makes atonement. Now what does he get out of it? He said, and what does he get out of it? His spiritual and moral stature is raised tremendously. For what good is it? After all, he's giving his life for it. For what good is it? In the community of Olam Habo, he becomes one of the heads. He's at the head of the community in the Olam Habo. And so that more or less covers that subject.
Okay, where is it going?
Yes?
It's a true thing. Does something like this with the
strength.
So much. Then afterwards, he and other players have any children who will receive the benefits of what he's done or inherit his.
Yes, I'm sorry, I missed it. Just try to get these. The
person gives up his whole life as a korban. Then, of course, he will not have any children afterwards. He's gone then, so that there will be no children to inherit this wall that he's done, all that he's given.
Well, not even for that, children.
No, it will be evil. He'll be gone.
And he might be gone, but his children might be gone.
But those children will not have probably the benefit of what he has done at that time. And that's
the whole generation has got benefit. The whole generation has got benefit. Yes.
And I believe, wasn't it a good deed is passed on to how many generations left?
Yes, that's right.
Whereas an evil
deed. But that good deed will not be passed on because it ends in his death.
Everything goes on for many generations.
But he does what any good that a person does lives on.
Even without children,
mm-hmm.
the Isn't that what we
have to do? All right. Now, yes, now, he goes on to say, I'm not going to do this part inside. I'll just give you the essence of what he says. He says, connected with this also is that there is evil that befalls the world. And evil that befalls the world is to satisfy the Midas Hadin. That is, justice has got to be satisfied. And if there's a lot of evil that has been done in the world, then justice is satisfied by trouble that our children bring into this world. If, for example, a lot of evil is done in the sexual aberrations that is carried on, then our sin brings a disease, an incurable disease, as this is to be by against the Midas Adin, this is to satisfy the Midas Adin. Justice has got to be satisfied. Everything has got to be paid for. So that is another reason why there can be a lot of trouble and a lot of catastrophe in the world.
Yeah.
I just want to finish this. I'm coming back to you. Just remember what you want to say, Hannah. And then he just ends by saying, so it works out that when the tzaddik suffers, or a few tzaddikim suffer for everybody, their suffering would be less than where all the people who did the wrong were they to suffer. It stands to reason. That is another point he made. Yeah. Then we are ready for this. Yes, I just want to get the comments done. Yes, comments. I would say that we believe also that these disasters are brought on. But we are going to see, I hope we can finish this tonight, that it is difficult for us to say why a disaster has been brought on. It can be, there can be so many different reasons for this. It's difficult for us to say, and yet we are in a position where we must make some kind of adjustment. But as what it comes to us and to come up tonight. Ruth, what did you want to
say? One question's definition is that when one study suffers, he suffers less because if many people would suffer, that would be a large amount of suffering. Everybody would do a little suffering, but it would add to a lot. And he just suffers badly, but it's cumulatively less.
Yes, the way it works is if the Rishoyim are punished for all the sins that they did, it's a lot of punishment.
Right.
Whereas if the Tzaddik is punished for their sins, he's got so much good in him that that must act as a counteract to whatever punishment he gets.
It
can't be the same amount.
So
they
get nothing?
Their punishment would be destruction. Their punishment would be complete destruction. I mean, we've got the best example that we've got is what happened in the 1930s, in the late 1930s, when Hitler made it clear that his idea is to destroy all the Jews, doesn't matter where. And once the war started, then there was no doubt amongst us Jews that if he were to win the war and capture the world, he would kill out every Jew. His idea was to destroy the Jewish people. Haman's idea also was to destroy all the Jewish people. Paro's idea was also to destroy all the Jewish people. They each took different ways of doing it. But that was the idea. You know, I don't know how far I could go with you and tell you all these things. The idea of liberal going is to destroy the Jews. They're coming very close to it. In a different way. What do you call it? The church is one idea, the idea of destroying the Jews, making them give up their religion. But this has been going on for a very long time. So there have been decrees that the Jews have got to be destroyed. And the few can suffer for the many and can avert that decree.
Does that mean that the people that are bad, that the Sadducees are suffering for, are they raised? I mean, as if they do cure themselves?
No, they're not raised. Unless they do something to raise themselves.
They
go to themselves. For example, let's just take it. You see, we're living through such interesting times, and it's such a useful thing to live through the times in which we are living. I've got a better appreciation of it than you have, because I've gone right through the whole of it, from the very beginning, right through the present. Just take what happened. Now, I believe that the reason for the Holocaust was that Torah was, the study of the Torah was diminishing. In America, there was no real Torah until 1940. In Europe, very, very little real Torah until after the war. In Europe, in the back, where the bastion of the Torah, where that is the reservoir of the Torah, it was on the decrease. Now, independently of Yehuda Sadele, it was on the decrease also amongst the Torah Jews. We were at a festivity last Sunday afternoon. Now, this little girl's great-great-grandfather was a great-great man. His son was already Orthodox Jews, the Shabbos, all kept all the mitzvahs. But he, as far as learning was concerned, when it came to his son, said, well, he didn't insist upon the learning. So that is already this. Now that was in Eastern Europe, when he was in, that is with his. So with this great man's grandson, he didn't learn at all. So it is gone. Now I'm just explaining to you the deterioration that was taking place. There was a tremendous amount of terror. But it was on the decrease. There's no question about that. And we find that wherever the Mokum HaTorah, the reservoir of the Torah, is on the decrease, we find that Hashem destroys it. Now, but the Torah was on the decrease in the whole world. There was no Torah anywhere. The Torah where there was, it was in Eastern Europe, there was a tremendous amount of Torah, in spite of the decrease. When you take it, Southern Latvia, it was the three parties, Southern Latvia, Lithuania, Poland. Now, I'm speaking after the First World War, we've got to do away with Russia. Poland, Galicia, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, into the eastern part of Romania. What a sweep there was. The Torah that they were studying, those countries, that was all the Mokum HaTorah. And that was already gone. Russia was gone. The Torah that there was in Russia before, until the time of the communists, that was gone. By the time, the period between the two wars, look what a deterioration there was in Torah. The Tzaddikim suffered. The Rishoyim, the people who let the Torah go, didn't suffer. So what benefit was it? But look how they came back. Look how they came back. Look at the Torah that is being studied today. 1940 is no Torah in America. Just look at the Torah that is in America today. You probably can't, you see what has happened here. So they have benefited by it all. Consciously or unconsciously, directly, indirectly, positively, obliquely, whatever it was. But that is the result. We are able to make the observation. We might not be able to make a true analysis of it, but the observation is certainly there. So that is something that we see. In Eretz Israel, before the war, a one of the good students he tells went to Eretz Yisrael. He said, I feel that I've got to go to Eretz Yisrael. He went to Eretz Yisrael to learn in Eretz Yisrael. And we were waiting to hear from him. And 1 month then passed, and another went from it, and another month it passed. Nobody heard one word from it, and we couldn't understand it. Until there came a letter from him. And the letter said, if you want to learn, don't come to Eretz Yisrael. Now this is before the Second World War. Don't come to Eretz Yisrael. Then he said, now I know you will want me to explain this to you. Then going into the water and taking the people of the boat and carrying them on their shoulders, carrying them to shore and looking after them, getting the illegal immigrants. The illegal immigrants were the Jewish people who had no hope. These carrying the illegal immigrants. He says, when that is going on, you can't go and ignore it all the time, man. Eretz Yisrael, as it is now, is not a place for learning Torah. That is what he said a long time ago. This was in the middle 1930s. All changed. Tremendous Torah in Eretz Yisrael, tremendous chesed in Eretz Yisrael. All changed. After the war, there was all this change. So, of course, there's a lot of change. So, those people didn't give their lives for nothing. A tremendous amount has been done. And we are living in a very, very fortunate time. We are able to see all this that has happened in the past and see it open up in front of us. And we can understand it when we learn the words like the Derech HaShem. It speaks to us. Now, we come on to the next point, and that is, he also makes the point that he says, that we've got to know that where there is darkness as a result of sin, transgression, misdemeanor, where there is darkness, then the light of God's countenance is taken away from the world. It darkens and it's taken away from the world. Heras pono, heras neha tfino, heras pono shelakori korosu. That is the language that is used by the Derech HaShem and by others. And when it returns, then God's presence returns to the earth. When there is reparation, God's presence returns. Now, he says, furthermore, O cherish Akadim Solan Hoga Bignone Olamaze, the Husha Chokma Yelno Sidro Abdul paragraph Yud in the Hebrew and then in the English. He says, the Rusia Hokmo Yelma Sidro Lahar Bos Ulha Solo Commercius of Hadlu Shemeshoma Ahasova Ulamaze for Obi Shonis for Gupi Shonis. So he says, and this is the transfiguration of the soul. He says, it's possible that a soul can sin and Hashem gives it the opportunity to repair by being born into a body again. So for example, if there's a Jew that has never put on his tefillin, he can't come into the Olamaze. If he's put on his tefillin only once, it's already there. But if he's never put on his tefillin, he can't come into the Olamaze. So Hashem gives the person the opportunity to correct that which was omitted in his life. Now, a wrong that he has done, that can't be cured by the soul being born again. That's not, that can only be cured by purging. But if a person hasn't done the right thing, that again cannot be rectified by purging. And that is the example that the Chofetz Chaim gives. If you send a garment to the cleaner, and it is filthy, but so filthy, the cleaners take it and they rub it with detergent and all sorts of things. Can you imagine if it's the soul, how painful it must be? Rub it and twist it and turn it. eventually it gradually comes out beautifully clean. Only one thing wrong with it. Some buttons were sawn off. It doesn't come back from the laundry with a button sewn on. That's not. So purging doesn't put back, put there that which was omitted. That which can't be. It's purging, it's a purge, it's a cleanse. For that there is no permission. For that there is a perfect yes.
If you just make it, you know what, so that if a person was, this is unskillful, if a person would kiss something and have it in a bracha, do they not have their hands in the Hava, or is it so much as a
Well, the eater literally is not in the hand probably, but in the mouth. There is a liquid, there is a fault, there is a flaw. That can be, but it doesn't have to be only with one.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to warn you, please, don't be so fond of life upon earth that you're not going to do the mitzvahs and hope that you'll be born again. It's a dangerous day. Because this is considered to be the greatest punishment of the soul. You have to come down to earth again. That's the greatest punishment of this. And the example I always give is the woman who takes her child to the nursery school, to the preschool. And the child is so happy in his place, and the mother is so happy. And the principal sees that the mother is so happy, and one day when she comes, she calls the mother in, she says, you know, I know what it means to you. I've discussed it with all the other mothers and they've agreed to it. I want to enroll you. She said, enroll you for what? As a student of the nursery school. She said, I don't want that. She said, but why not? You love it so much. And when you went to the nursery school, didn't you love it? She said, yes, when I went, I loved it. But I've outgrown it. To come now back to the nursery school is purgatory. How can you expect me to come back now? Don't want to come back. So please don't rely on this sort of thing. It's too dangerous. All right. So that is really the loss of the point that is taken. That the Derek Hashem did for us to understand how every opportunity is given for people. Yes?
I don't understand something. It says, soul is brought back into another body.
Yes.
And the first emotion, which body does that soul is connected towards?
Oh, that is very good. Yes. Now, you can ask something else. What happens if a soul is brought back, and this woman is the woman, and she was married, and a soul is brought back, and now she marries another man? Now, what happens then? So what man is it going to be? Yes, and some women will say, okay, no problem. In any case, I only love one of them, so didn't like the first one at all. So no problem. But there can be a problem. Now, this is worked out in such a way. I'll just give you some of the ideas. First of all, as soon as the person has fulfilled that for which he has been reborn, then he dies immediately. Immediately. Then, but the people he leaves behind, they are, that type of person is given to parents, for example, who must go through it. Their punishment is that they've got to leave a child. So then that is the equity how it works out. It's possible that it's before marriage is cut, so there isn't the opportunity. It's possible that the first marriage wasn't a proper marriage. For example, people who are married reform and conservative. On the Olam HaEmes, the men sit amongst the bachelors and the women sit amongst the spinsters. It's never been a proper marriage. So there are all sorts of things that are taken into consideration.
And what are those children?
Then children are all right, provided it's not on a, provided it's not on a mixed marriage and it's on a marriage where there was no guest and all that sort of trouble. Provided it wasn't that, then the children are all right.
But if you say the father slept with the bachelors and the mother slept with the children, we're speaking of reform or conservative.
Yes, yes. Sometimes
the children,
sometimes they're with the father, sometimes they're the mother. No, they're not mamzerim. They're mamzerim only if the reform or the conservative has married them.
That's what I'm saying.
Have married them without a guest, and they're living together without a guest. Where there was a marriage before. Mm-hmm. You follow? According to Jewish law, if an unmarried woman has an association with a man who is not, and she's not married, the child is Jewish and the child is not a monster. But if she is married and she has an association with a man other than her husband, and she has a child, that child is a monster. Or a child of a brother and a sister getting married. That child is a monster. Do they call many brothers and sisters? Jews and Gentiles? They don't do that yet. Is it permitted by the government?
Yes.
Yes, you know.
I think I understand now why the genocide is such a big problem. I really need to get that before anything
else. Yes, of course. Of course, it's a terrible problem. And I mean, you know, these women are secular. The women are really righteous women. Because they can easily give somebody and go to the reform or go to the conservative. They can easily get something done and they won't do it. I mean, they just, I'm just full of admiration for these things. I made this statement in New York, and I made it in Los Angeles, that in today's third world, the young people, I find that the women, generally speaking, are of a better caliber than men. Mm. There's been a tremendous amount. But this and the women, they don't complain. They don't come and they say, this is not fair that the law is like this. This is the law they accepted. They're very unhappy. Mm. And they ask that the people should help them and do something for them. That's it. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Before, my husband and I got married, we were going to be married. In the city. But anyway, the rabbi talked to us and he said that before he would marry us, he wanted us to sign something, one man to sign something, if he would give me a gift if something should happen. Which is very interesting that a conservative would do something like that. I mean, many of us didn't have marriage at all because I haven't been married without getting a divorce. But yeah. The point is that was very interesting that a conservative would even think of that. Yeah. At that time,
but it's really that I'm reading
Barbara. You could manage for your husband. Very wonderful person, a very wonderful husband. But if it wasn't family, he would sign it. And if it should happen, he would not interested.
But if in that case, if they did sign something, it's worthless.
It's worthless.
The court
won't
prevent
them
from
doing it. No. What can the court do? Put it in prison?
No, the court could take forbidden to get a secular.
In New York, that was
in New York. Mm-hmm. Something like that.
In New York. The husband is not allowed to put any impediment on the wife getting dead. And they can withhold the civil divorce if he refuses to.
I don't know how it works. It's a very difficult thing. I know most countries say that we have got the law of the country. We cannot give decisions according to Jewish law, according to Muslim law, according to Turkish law. We can only deal with it, so that's what most countries say. And you can't argue against it. So you can't expect us to give a decision not according to the but it's a very reduced limited in your specific here, but it's making it impossible for the person to marry it. They work for God, I don't care how strong it is. All right, I think that is as far as we will take it. And now we've got two more paragraphs to do for the end of and these two paragraphs are a summation of everything that went before, and then we are ready for the fourth chapter, which is quite a different subject. And about the time we're getting to this.
You go left.
Yes.
I mean, not that specific. Why the
Well, whole this is a good example. This is a good example where there are two ideas from the same source affecting the same person.
Did they put one
to use
into one and
left it? One here, one could use it, even one here. Okay, there are slight differences. And here you've got, in this verse, both ideas that are sin. He's sometimes the middah and sometimes the majdah. But on Shabbos and Yom Tov, he's certainly the middah. And he's not the majdah. Because on Shabbos and Yom Tov, he's not going to go out to fight. And if Shabbos and Yom Tov, he's not going out to fight, then what's going to happen to us? Shabbos and Yom Tov, we don't have to go. He's the middah. That is how it works. But this is something that's very beautiful about the whole of the Torah. And that is why we've got, and I explained it to you, we've got Pshat, and we've got Drash, and we've got Remez, and we've got so different levels of it all. Any further questions? Thank you, ladies. We see you again for a long, long time to come. Yes. Now, I've made an arrangement that Dr. Judith Michelle will be here on March the 12th, and she will take this here on March the 12th. Men and women, yes, in shul. And it will be for husbands and wives, so please bring your husbands with you. And it will be for women, and it will be for men. So it's for men and for women and for husbands and wives. And wives and husbands. So it will be worthwhile listening to her. She is a very interesting person. She is a highly qualified person. She is a person who is skilled in her work, because if you get a qualified person who hasn't got the skills, she is a person who is skilled in her work. And she is a person who was exposed to Torah for the first time only a few years ago, and has come all this way. She's been invited, this is the second time, she's been invited to go to Israel and to speak about how her work in the profession is aided by her Torah. But why should I tell you what she's going to tell you? March the 12th. I'll give you her address and everything. I had a message from Los Angeles, not from her personally, that she will be coming with her husband. And I hope they'll spend the night here and go back in the morning. Put me up for you. She is a psychologist. But she's very high up in her profession. She's a UCLA person, and she is busy writing on her subject, and she is taking an altogether different view of the psychology in which she was trained. But now there's more and more of this that is coming in. say to America that she is given from the Baron Club of the sort, and she's been taught to do so herself, to explain, and to teach psychologists there how to use the Taylor in the Taylor, the Taylor principle, Taylor approaches, as we've been doing here for these years, in the progress of its patients. Do you call it patients here or clients? Yeah. Anyway, I've got to be thankful that they don't call them customers. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
And at last, I found, when I said I found him, I discovered him several months ago, that I've been busy getting to know him and to quite in private about him. I've got a person whom I've appointed the co-solar for the solar community of Fairmont. And I had a message from him just for the truth tonight when he died. I've asked him and his wife to send a Shabbat with us and then send also Sunday. And on the Sunday, we will give a seal, we will give a seal in Shabbat on Sunday, on Shabbat, I can't find the noun for it, and Shabbat, we will give a seal on it, and he will be available. People want to have this feeling examined, this feeling examined, he will be available for that, and he will be able to find it. He's a special solution. He's a very, very close line to you. One person told me that he considered him to be the greatest line to be transformed. He's not angry with it, but he's not going to be the greatest to California. However, he must have a sister name of like that. another person said that he's one of the greatest in there. But he's so modest to be called absolutely the essence of his everything. And very pleasant person, and his wife is no less pleasant person. So they will be married with him. So the deal is, and he didn't do otherwise, he must come with his wife. And the wife comes back. His name is Rabbi Samuel Miller. Actually, he's Turkish. He's originally Turkish. He's English. Isn't he speaks the Western, but his accent might be a little bit difficult. So you have to listen carefully and passively carefully then. But very, very happy with it. Thank you.